You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
Cringeworthy,
ladies and gentlemen. It was Nick Sirianni, new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was recently named head coach. Obviously, as you see, he spent the last 3 years as the Colts guy, assistant guy. But holy public relations department!
Hey, what was worse? What was worse? That or your boy? Your boy who just got fired from the Jets with his opening press conference where he was like Adam Gase, where he was like looking like this everywhere. He's like,
I don't know, dude. Sirianni was bad because he was like, we're going to have a smart football team and then we're going to get an offense complicated to the defense. not even the right word.
It was bad.
So anyways, hey guys, welcome to the show. Season two, episode five. And golly, let me see what I got. Hold on. I got to do something right here. Let me see if I can get this going real quick.
Go ahead. I'm going to run down real quick what we got.
Here we go. Can you hear that?
Return of the Mac. I can't hear it. I'm glad you got it on. But.
Yeah, it's playing. Ladies and gentlemen,
we don't own rights. We do not own the rights.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's go, baby.
That's the worst.
At absolute full strength now at the Slaw Office with Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
We're back, baby.
We are back finally at live strength. Nick said he's had enough of sitting on the sideline. Obviously, he's a bench player.
Both of us are sick of him.
He is a bench player.
He is a bench rider, and he's like, yo, coach, put me in, coach. I'm ready.
He was going to hit the portal.
That's right. He was about to transfer out. He was going to do like the dude from LSU, the tight end that went to old McNeese over here.
He still might be coming back.
Not the five-star. I'm talking about some has-been, washed-up player. That's more like Nick's style.
That kid's from Jacksonville, though. That's a Jacksonville kid. He went to Episcopal.
Oh, who are you talking about? The one that the big five star?
The kid you're talking about that transferred to McNeese.
He's from Youngsville. So
okay, I'm talking about a different one then.
Yeah, you're talking way off. You don't even know your own team, dude.
I know my team. Don't worry.
Whatever, guys. We got a lot going on today. Nick Peretti is back in the building. Nick, say hi. Welcome or something.
My mic not on?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, okay. you're a little choppy, but I think you're
That's
good.
That's okay.
I'm getting you better.
About why y'all are jumping down Nick Sirianni's throat. How many times do you think he's been in front of been on that big stage and talking to people?
I agree. He was definitely a little nervous, but at that point, you can't have your NFL head coach being nervous from media. If he's nervous about
the
media,
what do you think is going to
happen when it's third and seven with 3 minutes left and you're down by four?
Well, you can always choke up and do what Matt LaFleur does.
That's what he's got Carson Wentz for.
So
apparently,
I like Carson.
That's his guy. So obviously, Nick, you've been gone for a little bit. That's okay though. We've been kind of keeping you in the loop, trying to update you on things. We've talked about head coaches and stuff like that. We're going to get into a couple things. First of all, dude, there is a lot of talk, a lot of moving and shaking, so to speak, in the NFL as far as like trades and people changing positions, quarterbacks in, quarterback out. Obviously, you got people that have retired and like, you know, Philip Rivers and I'm sure, you know, like Drew Brees and all these guys have moved on. But the latest and greatest, the big news is Deshaun Watson. More talk of him leaving Houston, which we all know. And I mean, we've pretty much got it panned out that Deshaun's gone. He's out. Now, the Texans have some leverage. Texas has some leverage. But Deshaun Watson, they showed that picture or whatever with Deshaun Watson. He's going to show up 285 pounds. I got to force his way out of Texas, Houston.
Yeah. Well, he took everything off his Twitter that related to Houston Texans. But, I mean, the Texans still have the stronghold on him. They kind of both have each other by the balls, seeing how he's got the no trade clause, but he could waive that, so they can't just trade him to whoever, because then you can say, hell no, I'll just stay here. But if he does, they could fine the piss out of him. And the way the NFL works right now is that it's no longer that a team could waive that fine how it used to be. The guy would just be, oh, you didn't show up, all right, we'll waive it, your new contract, whatever. Now there's a stipulation that you have to pay those fines, so it's gonna get ugly.
I think it's going to get ugly. Nick, what do you think? I mean, Deshaun Watson out of Houston.
Strong opinion on this. As a Jags fan, we just watched two of our superstars go through it just recently, Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue. And I'm of the mindset that you get paid a lot of money to do a job. And as long as the team isn't being disrespectful or hurting you in any type of way, you're in the NFL. There are going to be bad teams. You're not going to make it every single year. I understand that's not the reason he's leaving. He's leaving based off of, I guess, miscommunication with the front office on hiring people. But, I mean, you're a player. You're one of 55 guys on a roster. You don't make all the decisions. And to be the second highest paid quarterback in the league moving forward next year, I just think that he needs to kind of sit there and shut his mouth and play football. I know that's not a popular opinion all the time, but it's kind of the job you have. The three of us can't go into work tomorrow and tell them what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and how much you're going to pay me to do it.
Dude, you know what? It's not a popular opinion. It's never going to be a popular opinion. People are going to look at these guys and say, oh, my gosh, they give everything. They live their life the football way. But you're right in a way. You know, you do have a point. I mean, it is a job. It is a business. And people do not like to hear it. But at the end of the day, they sign these contracts to play football for these teams.
But here's the thing. I got to disagree with both y'all, because they're let's rank Deshaun Watson real quick. At the worst, we're going to rank him eighth. I would say eighth as an NFL quarterback, and I don't think he's at.
Well, Derek Gore was ranked eighth this year by the Pro Football Focus.
I think he's right outside the top five. I think he's right outside the top five. So you got to think about this. He's the fifth or sixth best guy in the world at the job he does. You're not going to so he can demand that. You know what I mean? So at this point, you're not finding too many.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Other than Breeze, who's gone now, so we'll throw him out. Other than Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, who else do you have?
All right, who'd you say? Brady's, Rodgers, Mahomes.
That's it. Other than those three, where's he at? Where does he fall?
I like,
because you're saying he's six.
Russ is in there. As far as just overall.
Okay. What's up, Pierre? What's going on, buddy?
You do have to take into account that Charles, appreciate the like, brother. You do have to take into account that Watson has had two torn ACLs too. So I mean,
I think he's the fifth best quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah.
Now listen, I agree with you, Nick, 100%. As far as shut up and play football, because it is a job. But at the end of the day, if my job went there and did everything they could to make my job miserable.
That's not
like what
they're doing.
That is what they're doing. That's what Bill O'Brien did.
Okay.
And he's asking as a star quarterback.
O'Brien's intentions. I don't think Bill O'Brien signed up and said, hey, I'm going to make your job suck. He made some bad decisions for probably some personal reasons, but I don't think they were to hurt Deshaun. Then you have guys who are now coming in here, a new GM, a new head coach, who are trying to build around you. They're talking to you. They're trying to communicate with you, and you're being a child. You're not answering phone calls. You're not taking meetings. It's time to grow up and at least hear what these people got to say, because if any three of us went into work and they tried to cater to us, and it would probably start to change your mentality about what you're going to do, about some decisions you're going to make. So he doesn't even want to have
that. The answer in the phone calls, that you at least answer the phone calls. At least,
yes, I'm with you. Like now, I'm not –
I'm not saying. He has opportunity. He should have the say. He's running the offense. He's the point man. So, I mean, at this point, if you didn't take what he had to say as far as, like, advice, not even advice, hey, what's your two cents on this? Who do you like? Let's just hear you out. Because you're our franchise guy, and now they just kind of blew that. J.J. Watt hasn't been the franchise guy in, I'd say, like, four years.
Right. Well, the thing is with J.J. Watt's done.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, you can bring that.
You know, Ian Rappaport and all these guys, they're talking about that's it. J.J. Watt's out, too.
Yeah, he's out. Yep.
So I don't know what's going on with, like, the whole franchise itself, but as far as, like, Deshaun, your top guy, he's gone. He wants out. Excuse me. He's not gone. He wants out. You're right. Answer some phone calls. Listen, the previous regime screwed you over. Okay? You've got a new regime in play. Like Nick says, I do agree. Give the new regime a chance. Answer the phone call like even Kyle said.
Regime blow a 21-point lead to the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs don't care if you got a 60-point lead. Patrick Mahomes is behind center, and he don't care with Travis Kelce.
You were the quarterback playing.
Listen, they go down every game in the playoffs, at least double digits.
I don't think it's fair to even say that they screwed him over. I don't think that that's the case. They made you the second highest paid player in the league. They respect you. They want you there. And then,
but then they trade your number one weapon. They trade your number one weapon in Hopkins, right? Well, Am I right?
Well, they fire the guy that did that. They fired
it. That's one man decision, and they let him go.
Okay, but here's what you have to look at. If you're Deshaun Watson, okay, you're Deshaun Watson, you're looking at all this information, you're looking at all these other teams, and you're getting people. Now, listen, he's not on the same level as Brady or, you know, certain people or Aaron Rodgers, but you got a lot of guys that are listening to a lot of quarterbacks. These head coaches, these GMs, they're like, okay, this dude's the star of my team, he's the future of my franchise, let me listen to him. Yeah. I think Deshaun Watson wants that. Well, that's the thing,
they don't do that, and they don't do that in Green Bay, bro. That's why Aaron Rodgers is so pissed, bro. He never gets. He
didn't get his receiver, but he got the coach he wanted that would listen to him
almost his whole career.
And then they went and got a quarterback.
Yeah,
in the first round.
And I'm okay with somebody saying, "Hey, I feel a little bit disrespected by that." That's not what's happening to Sean.
Right.
They're bringing in guys trying to make sure that they're going to work with him and figure that out.
Well, now,
I just have one quick thing. I want to know what you guys' opinion on this was, because it'll be a direct correlation. How did you feel about James Harden leaving? Because if you didn't have a problem with that, then that's why you
would have. We did. No, we had. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I had a major problem with James Harden. James Harden didn't show up.
James Harden, how could you not have a problem with this, Russ? Kyle?
Do what?
If you had a problem with the way James Harden went about his business, why don't you have as much of a problem?
Well, because we've actually talked about this. They gave James Harden – every opportunity. They brought everyone he wanted in, and he couldn't work with anybody. He couldn't work with anybody, dude. Like, CP3 wanted out ASAP. They almost got in a fist fight. Dude, I mean,
Howard, they brought Dwight in. They wanted Westbrook. Westbrook's out.
Westbrook doesn't mess with anybody. That's why Bradley Beal's about to be gone. But, I mean, from Washington. But I feel like Deshaun has given –
I think. Oh well, here's the thing. Hold on,
because Harden said he gave everything to
Houston.
I think Watson gave more.
I mean, he gave all his money to all the strippers in Houston.
But. And no, I just think, I think Deshaun has carried more of a load than Harden as far as talent wise, because Harden's had talent around him. You know what I mean?
It's a different sport. You can't sit there and say that.
The Texans' talent has always been on defense.
I understand, but you got to realize basketball is a five-player sport, and they play offense and defense consecutive. Now, I say five players, but I meant five players on the court at one time. Offense and defense. You got 22 players on an NFL team, offense and defense separately. So you can't sit there and say that. To me, I don't think – dude, you sit there – you can't sit – I can't sit there and say that they have given Deshaun Watson – everything, because the previous person has taken from Deshaun Watson. Okay, so I do understand his frustration, but at the end of the day, like Nick was saying, you have to.
I had a first round guy in Brandon Cooks too in return.
Yeah, you did. You did.
No. Now none of us will argue that Brandon Cooks is on.
He's nowhere near Hopkins level. That's right.
We will not argue that. No. But the kid has been traded. He's been drafted in the first round, and they.
Yeah.
multiple first round picks for him to go to a new team.
He's been all over. And Cooks
is no slouch.
He's not, but he's been all over the league. Will the thing Fuller, is, at some point,
he's a guy.
Fuller is more
he's
of a
not a top receiver. We've already I believe that, and we've me and Nick had this back
if he can stay healthy.
He's an elite receiver as far as running comebacks and go routes.
Right.
He runs no other route well. He doesn't get open over the middle. He doesn't he doesn't catch well with his hands. Everything's with the body. So,
I think he catches. I mean, the dude had a season where he didn't drop any passes.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a cradle guy. He's a cradle guy.
Oh, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with Cooks. Cooks is a guy that at some point in time, like anything in life, like if I buy something and I get rid of it, it loses value. Well, Cooks has been to this is what his fourth or fifth team. He went to New England. He's been in New Orleans. He's been in the Rams. And now he's with the Texans. This is his fourth team in what, a sixth year? He's only been in the league not that long. So, you know, you got things that have happened. And look, even Harley, yeah, that is true. They did. They released Kenny Stills.
Yep.
They did. They released Kenny Stills. They got rid of him. So you got to realize they have, to me, they have not done enough.
Greg, Chris, what's up, bro? What's up,
bro? To say,
thanks for watching.
Sean, we've given you everything. However, like you said, I do agree. You need to at least give this new regime, this new ownership, our GM, this new head coach, you got to at least give them some sort of opportunity. Yes, I get it. We didn't get the coach we wanted. But guess what, dude? This is the real world. You don't get everything you want. I don't care if you're a $100 million athlete or not. Like, that's the problem. Like, you can't get what you want all the time. And I lean more towards Nick, but at the end, I do agree with what Kyle's like. But
absolutely,
you haven't given him everything. But at the same time, you need to at least give this new regime an opportunity. So,
fifth is a good number for him. It is a good number.
But anyways, you got a lot of players. You got a lot of players moving and shaking. Jared Goff, they said, may be out.
Goff.
I don't think anybody has.
Really I mean, we talk about the rumors about Zeke to Jacksonville for a third round and a late round. I mean, Nick, you like that? How do you feel?
As a Jags fan, anytime a big name is headed to our city, I'm excited about it.
I agree.
Getting publicity, getting TV time that you're not normally going to get just being an under-the-radar team generally. So I like that. I don't know what his contract looks like. I do feel like he has a lot of miles on him. He's led the league in carries, I think, twice in his career. So with stuff like that, it makes me a little nervous, but I think he's still young enough that that's not a problem we need to worry about in the near future. And you add that to James Robinson. I think a lot of times
that'd be great for both of them, man.
Overall drafting team, usually you have a pretty bad offensive line. Offensive line is not really one of the Jags' woes. They have vets all over that offensive line. If you add another running back next to James Robinson, I really think that it could make whoever that quarterback is back there make his job a lot easier.
You have to have in this day and age, you've got to have a second running back. You've got to have a spell back. I guess the wear and tear on a number one is no longer there. Look at Barry Sanders. Look at these guys that have done it now, with the exception of what, like Frank Gore, who's been there for absolute ever, to Adrian Peterson. Those dudes are machines.
Dustin, what's up, brother? What's up, D?
Look, hey, Harley wants to know real quick, Stafford. I was just about to get to Stafford. They're saying Stafford has a lot of traction.
Yes, heavy man. I heard Rams as well. Yep, Harley. I heard Rams.
Get rid of Goff, the Rams would be – yeah.
If they get seriously, you should be in the market. But if all you have to do is give up a first rounder, you should absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
What first rounder do the Rams have next
what
year?
What is he, 30? Yeah, you're
next
right.
Year? Rams. They have nothing to give up this year. What are they going to give up?
You've got to get rid of
you're going to take – so what – so Detroit's going to take Goff in a first-rounder – I mean, he's
– No. It's not going to be quarterback-for-quarterback. It can't be quarterback-for-quarterback swap. Okay. There's no way you trade Goff for Stafford.
A first-rounder either.
Goff's going elsewhere. Goff's going to go elsewhere.
I believe they cut him.
They'll probably go to the Raiders and, like, we'll get screwed.
I think they cut him. Hey, but Nick, Zeke's set to make 9.6 in 2021 – and then 12.4 in 2022. So if the Jags take that, bro, it's
right. Hey, well, if the Jags take it, then they're going to pay
money. Hey, Schobert, 10 a year.
Yeah, they got plenty of money, you know. So I mean, that's not bad for them. And then you know, addressing another weapon with that 25th pick, I believe they need to do. And then just heavy free agency on that defense.
Like Harley said, he'd love to see it. I think
Leonard Williams coming out. So
who do you got the Saints?
I've been calling that for weeks, and Rob, you know, I've been saying that.
I know. He's a Drew Brees guy. He's a Drew Brees guy.
That's what I'm telling you, dude.
Drew Brees, or he's very smart.
Dude, he would fit so well with Sean Payton.
Pick your poison. You guys get Jameis. That's it.
No, Jameis is getting paid. Jameis is getting paid like $1 million a year, dude. They're not paying him anything. He's gonna stay as the backup. He'll be there as a backup next year, and then Taysom will go back to what he's playing normally. Stafford would be such a huge get. I don't feel like the Saints would miss a beat if they got rid of Stafford. I don't know what they're going to give up for him. I don't know, because here's the thing. You know how I am with Sean Payton and the receivers, bro. He could get it. It doesn't matter.
Herbert's asking, who's playing better? Well, Pierre says, who's playing better, Brady or Mahomes? Like right now,
I think Mahomes.
I think Mahomes is playing better. Now, I think Brady's played. Brady has played above what I guess we would, I guess, expect at 43 years old. But
outside of winning, what has Tom Brady done that we haven't seen before? He doesn't do anything special.
He's not excelling. Tom Brady.
He's being his old self. But
Tom.
But like we said last week, when he threw that pick deep downfield to Mike Evans, where I was critical of Mike, Brady did have some, you know what I'm saying? That was a little bit of his fault as well. Yeah. The way he's getting away of, he didn't get hit, kind of just tossed it up, laid down. So, I mean, that's also on Tom, knowing how old he is and knowing that, like, he's on a Super Bowl run, that he's not trying to take the hit and be done. So I get it.
Brady's always
but Mahomes is playing better right now. But Brady's savvy, dude. He's savvy.
What'd you say, Nick?
I just think that I think for one, Brady's position, the way he plays the position, is kind of dying in the league. They want more athletic guys.
Sure.
I mean, it changes so much, because
I remember
10 years ago, if you weren't a 6'4 quarterback, you weren't getting drafted in the first round. They want you to stand in the pocket. Now they're wanting you to move around and do kind of different things. Give offensive creative coordinators a little bit more options to do. But Mahomes does things that we've never seen before. We've never seen quarterbacks going no look passes in the
But he's middle. Also got he's also got two
he's also got hit away and throwing the football to a guy for a touchdown. Nobody does that. He's switching the ball to his left hand. I mean, we have seen that, but he does it so naturally, so instinctively. Yeah. He is the best quarterback in football.
Well, you got it. He is. There's no doubt Mahomes is, as of right now, probably the number one quarterback in the league. I would put Aaron Rodgers at two, and I would put Tom Brady at three. And that's being nice to Tom.
It is.
Now, Tom hasn't had a great
one of five teams. He wouldn't be as far in the playoffs as he is. He had to go to a right situation, and there was only probably four or five of those.
That's right. You're right. But I'm just saying, as far as still what he's doing in the league, he's still a top 3 to 5 quarterback behind Mahomes and Rodgers. And you could put Deshaun in there, who led his team to a 4-12 season, and you could put Russell Wilson in there.
Lamar Jackson in there ever. No.
Jackson is not a top 10 quarterback.
He's got to prove the consistency of throwing. But we got another question in too from Chris Bishop, our buddy Chris. He said, "What do y'all think about the Jags' new head coach? We touched on it too. A couple weeks ago, man. I'm just iffy about it.
He's gonna get hurt in 2 years when they suck.
I believe that as an end goal. But here's my thing. I'm not, as far as the first couple years, I don't know about the coaching that we brought in. There's a lot of unproven coaching at the NFL level. Like I've been saying, dude, if this was a coaching hire for Texas or a college coaching hire, this would be a slam dunk. Home run, grand slam, whatever you want to call it, dude. This has been an awesome hire. I mean, I do like Charlie Strong. I do like Urban Meyer, but I'm not there yet, man. And I think like he's everywhere he's been, there's a horrible culture. And he's gone in a couple years. Yeah, he wins, but at the college level, and that's also with 28 new scholarships that you could go get 3 or 4 transfers that are you know, sophomores and juniors that are elite already, and then get your 8-5 stars and be ready to roll in the Big Ten.
Let's get Nick's take on it real quick, and then we're going
to
move
on. He gets to do the same thing with the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. I agree with Kyle. If he went to another college team, it's a home run. Without a doubt, can't miss.
All his staff, too. His staff, too, is all college.
Jacksonville is kind of a similar situation right away. I don't think it will be long term. I'm afraid of. I don't really believe in the health concerns. I believe that he don't know how to lose. And
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's gonna lose, and when he loses, he's gonna have some sort of testicular.
Well, here's the thing, know, Nick. How many years until
he's gonna quit?
So yeah, his 4-year contract or 6 years? Five years. Yeah. So 5-year contract.
That's similar to his recruiting.
How many years? How many years till he gets to 500 or above 500? And with that said, those are only 4 recruits. He could bring 28 guys in, new guys in every year.
I'm gonna say 3 years because it is the AFC South.
4 in the top 100 players. Then you sit there and you say you're already talking about rumors of Zeke coming here. That's purely
that would be big. That'd be huge. Absolutely.
So that's another. And then you add free agency and having the most money. You can attract people through free agency and through dollars and with his name, and now he just started recruiting again. I don't think it works like that ever in most situations, but with them having so many draft picks in the top 100, so much money to spend on free agency, I think that it gives him at least 1 or 2 years worth of, hey, I can kind of pick and choose and make some moves and add some recruits to this NFL team.
Yep.
Okay,
I mean that's what he needs. He needs to add free agent guys.
But you only have so much money. If you bring Zeke in, you're taking on more money. I know they have a lot right now, but if you start bringing these guys in, that money runs thin.
This may be good for a year or two,
but what's going to happen?
I would rather them use the money and we misfire on guys rather than not use the money and be like, well, we had $40 more million to spend and we didn't do anything with it.
I don't think you're going to misfire, though. You're going to use the money wisely. Like Nick said, you could bring up even Michael Thomas.
You're going to bring in Leonard Williams. You're going to need another elite D-line guy.
And then you're going to get play after that.
That's fine. That's fine.
If you get Super Bowl or bust for 2 years with Urban Meyer, 3 years left.
That's fine because me and Nick have talked about it plenty of times before. The way the contracts now are with free agents, you could front load them, and if at the end of that contract they're not working out for you, see you later. You know, so you could cut ties easily. It's all incentive based at the end.
Especially the running back contracts, their contracts, because that is the most underappreciated position in the league, in my opinion.
Underdog in the Super Bowl. Herbert Pierre.
Herbert, what you got, Pierre? What you say? Who's y'all? Underdog? What do you mean underdog?
Underdog in the Super Bowl. I think Tampa. It's Tampa's absolutely the underdog. Without a doubt, Tampa's the underdog. You see that guy lay 2.5 mil? On Tampa covering the 3.5 spread. 2.5 mil, dude.
He must have invested in Dogecoin or GameStop.
He's got something. I don't know, man. He might be one of the hedge fund guys. You never know.
I ain't never seen him. It's Tom Brady. Listen, we even said it. Didn't we say this? This is a season that.
Are we addressing it? Are we going to address it?
We're not going to get into it. We'll talk about that more on the next episode Tuesday night, but because it's closer to the Super Bowl, we'll talk more NFL and how we feel like this season turned out. Real quick, last subject on the NFL, we got to move on. We ain't got but about 10 minutes left on the show. Ron Rivera is cancer-free. That's all I want to say. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Ron Rivera, his daughter tweeted or messaged or whatever, said he's cancer-free, so that's badass, you know. Oh, Coach Rivera, he did a great job at Washington this year. So I can't knock the guy. He's a hell of a coach. So.
Oh, yeah.
Last night, we're going to talk real quick. SEC schedule. We're big SEC guys, obviously. All of our teams are awesome to the point where I beat both of y'all this year. So I'm living that high horse right now. Yeah. The game outside of the SEC, I don't think there's much else other than Miami and Alabama. Like, that's really, really – other than LSU and Maine.
No. You got Clemson, Georgia. You got Clemson, Georgia.
Oh, you – wait.
You got Clemson, Georgia.
Okay. They're doing a home and home, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So then you got that, and then you, I believe you have Arkansas going against Texas. You know, two featherweights,
two big fighting it out. Big Eight.
I mean, look. I mean, you go down the schedule. I mean, because Miami's a featherweight, man. I mean, let's be real about it. Miami,
dude, they're gonna
smoke them. See, here's the thing. It's gonna be like a 13-point game at half, and all the Miami fans on Facebook and Twitter are gonna be going nuts about how they're back. And then they're just going to get skull drug in the second half by 24.
Florida fans at halftime in an A&M game. I hear you.
And but no, so like I guess that is a marquee matchup. It's more name. It's more name recognition. The heavyweight one is going to be the Clemson Georgia.
But without it, hold on, timeout. What Georgia?
Clemson versus Georgia.
Yeah, but what Georgia?
I think Georgia's going to be a better team this year than they were last year.
You better hope so, because this year Georgia was absolutely trash.
They're the same team on offense.
I don't care how many wins they got this past year. Georgia looked absolute like shit.
I agree. They did.
My pick to win the East this year, in all reality.
They don't have much competition. Florida's lost a lot. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, and then you look at Auburn. Auburn has a Penn State week four. I mean, that's a solid. Penn State
was like two wins this year. Who cares?
And I think right there with Miami and Texas. Good every 3 or 4 years, but typically their recruiting classes aren't keeping them at the top of the list.
Mississippi State ends up with NC State. I think that's a good little matchup right there. I think that's a nice little.
I'm not concerned.
And then you have LSU going out to the Coliseum at UCLA. That should be LSU should absolutely handle them. I expect LSU to handle them by double digits.
A&M has a home and home against UCLA after LSU finishes theirs.
Yeah, they do. And I really like this Louisville Ole Miss game. Ole Miss, dude. Even though Ole Miss is LSU's biggest rival, in my opinion, as far as like history goes, Ole Miss, man, you just want to pull for them. As far as just watching them, dude. Just
be honest, dude.
They're never a threat. That's why I think I root for them at times because I don't see them as a threat. And Louisville, man, I like the moves that they're making with Lane Kiffin. They're solid, man. I really like Ole Miss. If they could ever get some recruits in to play defense,
but that'll be good. All right.
Tennessee's actually hosting Pitt, which I think is another featherweight. I
mean, it's better than another Bowling Green or Tennessee Tech. But
yeah, and then your biggest featherweight match would be Colorado going to A&M. I mean, a bunch of just fucking sissy slapping we got going on right there. But I mean, rank these games.
Why don't you take a seat on the couch.
I think that's like I'm rating Texas A&M's game with Colorado underneath. That's a less desirable game to watch.
Absolutely, but UCLA is going to beat LSU.
Nobody's watching it.
Absolutely not, bro. You might as well go ahead and book this on the stream real quick on so when we get YouTube could see it, the podcast here at Facebook Live could see it. Go ahead and book that UCLA is going to beat LSU, bud. Go ahead and do it.
That's not happening. UCLA, I'm booking it. UCLA beats LSU. They upset LSU. I don't even know the recruits of UCLA.
Because they don't have any.
Ass bag, trash bag. And
Coach O's. I mean, no, if we're talking about ass bag, trash bag, we need to talk about Florida's schedule. Playing FAU and then following up with South Florida. I get that y'all drew Alabama this year, which does kind of suck for y'all and suck for Georgia.
That's an L.
But, it's absolutely an L.
Hey, let's play the game.
But Samford, bro, you got FAU, South Florida, and Samford. Nick, speak up for your team, bro. Speak up for your team because Florida State, you can't rest on those laurels. Because you can't be like South Carolina now. Rest on your laurels that you played Clemson because Florida State ain't it. What you got, Nick?
Yeah, listen, I've been an advocate for a long time that the Gators do not play a tough schedule. They just don't. They won't. It's almost like they're afraid to. I believe they should play Miami most seasons. I believe they should play – at least one more team outside of Florida State that's not a cupcake. And it's almost every year we play Florida State and then three cupcakes outside of the cupcake.
Every year.
With that said, in the SEC, if you lose one game outside of your conference,
you're done.
You're pretty much not going to make the playoffs.
That's right.
But in the SEC, if you win the SEC, you pretty much get to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, but here's the thing. With Florida's schedule,
why make your schedule any
harder? You can't. No. The way it is now, dude, I'm telling you, you might be look at A&M.
You get an opportunity right now. Their
name has never held the weight that Florida's name has held.
A&M did not win outside of conference, bro. A&M had one loss and didn't have a game outside of conference, and that's what ended up costing them. I don't think the SEC is in a position anymore to do that, bro.
Their name isn't as big as Ohio State's name. That's what cost them.
No, it's not as big as Notre Dame's name.
Yeah, it's not as big as Notre Dame. Yeah. I get that. I get that. But if they would have played somebody else out of conference, that Notre Dame got a little extra because they're technically not in a conference, and they went.
Notre Dame played all year. Look at me. That's it.
Well, here's the thing. That's why they got put in, because they beat Clemson. That's the only reason.
They just lost.
That's why.
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm tired of this whole recency bias, non-recency. Hey, NFL is a recency bias.
My point is, bro, if A&M had a out-of-conference game against, let's say, NC State, then you absolutely would have been in, because here's the thing. Florida with this schedule can arguably – they're going to have – if they have one loss
– Florida's going to lose.
It's got to be the Bama. It's got to be Bama. They cannot lose to Georgia. They cannot lose to Georgia.
If Florida beats Georgia next year and loses to Alabama –
even if they didn't have Bama –
maybe a top four team. They may go to the playoffs.
If what?
Florida will lose to Alabama. If Florida beats LSU and Georgia, Florida will go to the college football playoffs. They will win out. The only loss they're going to have is Alabama.
Bro. It depends, bro, because Kentucky – see, here's the thing, bro. Where do y'all rank Kentucky? Because I've heard a lot about Kentucky.
Dude, I'm not even talking about
Kentucky. I think Kentucky is a top three team, bro, in the East. In the East.
They don't have anybody else other than Florida and Georgia.
I'm telling you, bro, Kentucky – LSU's got Kentucky this year, and I'm telling you, bro, I'm more worried about Kentucky than I am with UCLA or some of these other teams that are on the schedule, bro. I'm telling you, Kentucky might surprise you this year. Outside of
Florida and Georgia in the SEC East, who scares you? And you could say Kentucky, but outside of that, who scares you?
No one. No one. Absolutely
not. Okay, so why do we even say – of course Kentucky's the number three team, because there's nobody else.
I mean, in all reality, Missouri can make some noise. In all reality,
this is a team
that did win the SEC East twice. So, I mean, I'm not going to count them out. Drinkwitz is at least putting points up on people. So, I mean, that's something. Odom wasn't even putting points up. He was playing stellar defense.
It doesn't matter.
So,
dude.
I mean.
If Florida, they've got two tests to win. It's Georgia and LSU. They're going to lose to Alabama,
too.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Regular season, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You play well. No. That's what I'm saying.
You're gonna lose to Bama no matter what.
They'll pull them in the SEC championship too.
Here's the deal, though.
You're either gonna get LSU or Bama in the SEC championship. I'm telling you, because I think
you're gonna get Bama.
Hey, don't sleep on Auburn this year. Bo Nix is a vet now. He's not a young guy no more.
It's a totally different offense. They're losing their best linebacker. They're losing their best secondary guy in the transfer portal. They're losing a D end as well. They're losing some guys. And Bo Nix, bro. I'm not sold on Bo Nix. But here's the thing: Bo Nix fit perfect in the offense that Gus Malzahn ran. So I mean, a wide open space, get around. He's a Josh Allen, bro. He's a Josh Allen type quarterback in college.
Lester Johnny Manziel, go home with that crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because Josh Allen's not a top seven quarterback in the NFL to me.
I got one thing I've been wanting to talk about. It came out yesterday.
Slick, what's up, baby? What's up, Slick? And
more or less, it's going.
Thanks for joining, bro.
Segue. It's gonna allow me to segue into one thing. The guy I've been wanting to talk about for a long time.
All right, let's make it quick.
The kid. Grab these, Baker Mayfield. What are Browns fans doing?
Baker's trash, bro.
No.
Yes, Baker is ass, bro.
Baker's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not a top 10.
On the couch, bro. By yourself. When was the last time anybody got put on the couch? Kyle Russo, get your ass on the couch.
What did Baker do when Mahomes got hurt and KC stopped scoring and it was a one possession game and he had about six different possessions to score?
He played his heart out.
Yeah, good for you, bro.
Hey, good for you. Higgins fumbled on the end zone either.
That's amazing, bro. Listen here, bro. He also had six or seven more drives after that.
He did plenty of opportunity to do a couple picks.
Browns fans
running around
Deshaun Watson. How dare you shit on this kid who haven't won a playoff game since 94, haven't been to the playoff games almost this millennium.
Listen, bro, his defense and his weapons did all they did. When you throw a 7-yard slant and Juice takes it to the house, when you got your running game, you got the best running game.
Interceptions. He threw 18. That's not his defense.
And he threw two in the game.
Playing good football.
And he threw two in the game.
Yes.
So he had eight picks the whole year.
Deshaun Watson is the best running quarterback with what?
Deshaun Watson is absolutely. So, Han, so who do you
think? One playoff win? That's what Baker's got. That's what Blake Bortles.
Exactly. Bortles has Bortles is better than these guys. That doesn't mean they have better teams. The Browns have a better team right now than the Texans, bro. Okay, that's just the way it is.
Nick, hold on. Bortles
is not a better quarterback than Watson. Bortles is not a better quarterback than
– Baker Mayfield is part of them being a better team.
But is Baker Mayfield better than Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, answer that.
No, but
okay, so we put them in Blake Bortles.
No, he's not going like this. He's going like this, bro.
No, Baker through 14 last year.
Hey, Baker's like this.
That's fine. He threw eight picks, but here's the thing you're failing to mention, bro. You're hiding, you're burying the lead. The fact that 2 years in a row they've had the best run game in the league and a decent defense. They didn't lose the game to Kansas City over defense. They lost the game because their team couldn't put up.
His stats got better, and when he lost, it's one of the best receivers in the league.
So don't start with that.
Odell Beckham was gone most all this season.
Look at everyone else he's got around him, bro. He's got two really good tight ends in Njoku and Hooper. Absolutely. And he's got an amazing run game that he dinks and dumps to, bro. And he's got a couple other athletes out here. So it's not like he has Washington and the New York Jets.
He's a gunslinger. He does not dip and dump. If it's there, he will, but he's a gunslinger.
Their offense, here's the thing. You're right. He's a gunslinger that throws way too many interceptions. That's why the offense is built to dink and dunk. He throws nothing but picks. To be a gunslinger, dude, you have to make plays downfield. When was the last time you seen Baker Mayfield throw a 30-yard rope downfield for a touchdown?
I mean, he's done it.
We're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about Kyler Murray. We're talking about guys that sling it down the field. When has Baker Mayfield done that?
Baker Mayfield.
I'm talking about the ones he connects on.
Okay. Baker Mayfield is the number one quarterback in Cleveland.
They won 11 games. 11.
Because they had the best run game.
They beat the Steelers in the playoffs. Listen,
but it's their defense. Baker
had 70 yards. It was 28 to nothing, dude. That was not on game. That was their defense and Steelers' own mishaps. And their defense playing well with their own run game, dude. Their run game exploded.
The game started off in their favor, no doubt.
28 nothing. The defense and run game exploded. The pick six, the defense, the fumble over the head that went for the touchdown, the pick six.
The only team that's going to lose that is Houston.
Kareem Hunt had two touchdowns within the first like 8 minutes of the game.
I think it was his first two touches. He had nothing to do with Baker.
All right, listen, we're running out of time. I know. I can keep going.
Out the backfield.
Here, see, look. See this executive power I got. Look, I can mute both.
So how come?
Boom, there we go. Mute. Y'all are both muted. I'm like, pardon the interruption or whatever. Guys, we're out of time. We could sit here all day and talk. We could sit here all day. I'll bring you back in so you can say goodbyes or whatever you want to do. Listen, though, for real. 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday night. We do this again.
Coach
we break
Padgett.
Down the Super Bowl. Are you still talking about it?
Yeah, No. Coach Padgett, the best wide receiver coach in Florida, bro. Oh, in Florida. Okay. I'll put it on everything. In Florida, period. No levels. In Florida.
We'll be back 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday. Nick will be back, hopefully with a setup. Appreciate y'all for being out here.
Yeah, hopefully he'll leave. But, yeah, appreciate y'all. Hey, please. Please smash
the
like
button. Turn your notifications on so you know when we go live. We will be back live again.
Yes, sir, Coach.
We're back live again Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Standard. That's 9 p.m. Eastern for all you Florida folk. And
we'll
be back. I'm going to upload this episode. It'll be on the spot
anywhere you get podcasts.
YouTube's here. Like, you're going to see all of this. So what you see here is what you're going to see on YouTube. I've got all that. We're going to start putting all that stuff out on YouTube as well coming next week. So, but thank you guys. Appreciate it. Like I said, like it, subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notifications. Know when we go live. We'll be doing it again next week. For Slough Office, it's Russo, and Peretti. We're out.